Hallelujah. We couldn't help ourselves, but God looked down where we were at in the midst of all of our struggle and trouble. And what did He do? He sent His Lamb, His Son. Oh, glory. You and I, the only thing that could buy us back from hell, death, and the grave was the sinless Lamb of God. Amen? Jesus the Christ. And God sent Him for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, it's wonderful to be in the house of God with y'all this morning. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. You're in the right place at the right time. Amen? Come on, tell them. I'm in the right place at the right time. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Passover, after Resurrection Day. And, you know, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows to help us to understand what God was going to bring to us in the New Covenant. Amen? And this feast, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, whatever you wish to call it, the Greek, we call it Pentecost. It's from Shavuot in the Old Testament. But 50, simply meaning, you know, Pentecost meaning 50 days after. You know, Jesus, as He ascended after 40 days, and He said, you go and you tarry 10 days. And He didn't tell them. They didn't know that it was going to be 10 days, but it was 10 days. And then on the 50th day, the church, what we call the birthday of the church, came to pass. And it all stemmed from the Feast of Harvest. And this morning, you and I, we feel the urgency of the coming of the Lord. And there's a great harvest that is out there that is waiting. And what is so wonderful about Pentecost and about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit come to those in the upper room to empower those to go out and reach those who are outside the room. And so this morning, you have a destiny, and I want you to know that God has not forgot about your lost loved ones. He's not forgot about your lost friends, your lost co-workers. He is a God of salvation. Amen? And He's preparing His church to be in that place, in that position. Luke chapter 24, and then Acts chapter 1. Open up to those two openings, if you would. Luke 24, let's start reading for sake of time in verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. The Word of God says, then Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, till you be clothed with the power, the dynamo, from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands, and He blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from heaven and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And then Acts chapter 1, Luke gives us a little more detail of this, starting in verse number 4 for sake of time. It says, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. And He says, then drop down to verse number 8. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your such a sweet, loving, drawing spirit here today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that we can still our minds for a minute and open up our hearts, Lord, the eyes
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. The Spirit of God spoke to Brother Whitby this morning, early this morning when he was praying, and it goes right along with what we're going to talk about this morning. The Spirit of God spoke to Brother Whitby and said, you got to give before you receive. Now, how does that play into effect of what we're talking about? God, He gave us the Old Testament. He gave us the understanding of the feasts and the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Pentecost. But He gave us the revelation in the Old Testament, and then He gave us the personalization of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He gave us of Himself. He gave us Jesus Christ that we could be born again, that we could be saved. Amen? So He gave unto us so that we could be, in turn, we could give back to Him. And today, the Holy Spirit is wanting us to give everything about our lives back to God through Jesus Christ, where we can receive the fullness of what God would have for us. God wants you and I to walk in victory. He wants us to walk out our Christianity, not in our own understanding, not in our own ability, but by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have been endued with power from on high to be able to do and be what God called you to be this morning. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about. So let's look at this right here. As God brought forth this day of the birthing of the church to start the great evangelistic effort, he wanted his people to know that He was going to be with them. See, that's a great thing about it. Jesus said, when He was explaining to His disciples, He said, I'm going to go away. He said, but don't sorrow. Don't be sorrowful. You don't understand what's going to happen. Because when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send My Holy Spirit where He can abide with you forever. Jesus could only be with a certain number of people at a certain amount of time when He was in the flesh. But in the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, He is inside of every blood-bought believer. Amen? And He fellowships with you. He is closer than your heartbeat. He's closer than every breath that you take. And He is there to lead you and guide you, to lead me and to guide me into all truth. Amen? He wants us to be in a place where we have the heartbeat of the Father. The heartbeat of the Father this morning is that He's not willing that any should perish. And He wants to draw people in to this dispensation of grace. He wants to draw people in and let them, by the Spirit of God, be baptized into the body of Christ, be baptized and be a part of the church. Amen? And so, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at the feast. And let's bring it back to where we're at this morning, where we can understand some things. Go with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23. God's feast, though they've been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, they are forever. Amen? Exodus chapter 23, starting at verse number 14. Exodus 23, 14. Three times shall thou keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. That's the feast of Passover. Drop down to verse 16, and the feast of harvest. This is the feast of Pentecost that we're talking about. He said, the first fruit of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering. That's the feast of tabernacles. But he tells us there in verse 17, three times, second time for emphasis, in a year shall all males appear before the Lord God. Now, that's what is so wonderful about this. They were raised up in this, and they were Moses introduced this 1,500 years before the New Testament feast that Peter got to preach this message on took place. And so what was Pentecost? What was this feast all about? This feast was a time, it was a holiday, but it was a time of pilgrimage. It was a time where you left where you were at, and you went to where God was at to meet Him. Amen. And it was a day of celebration. It was a day of great rejoicing. It was a day that you offered, that you gave to God. And as you gave to God, then the priest, he offered up these two holy loaves of bread, signifying that you and I, that we offer ourselves up, even though in ourselves there's leaven, there's sin. But when we get offered up to God, God takes what we had gave him, and he uses it for his glory. Nobody can do what you can do this morning. Nobody can be what you can be this morning because you have gave yourself back to God, you through Jesus Christ, and now on this Feast of Harvest, this day of celebration, God wants you to be endued. He wants you to be in a place where you see the power of God to live an abundant life. To live out, as Brother Corey taught so eloquently this morning, the kingdom in you. Luke said in Luke 17, he said, as he's writing down the words of Jesus, he said, stop looking for the kingdom all out here. He said, the kingdom of heaven is in here. Amen. It's inside of you. That's the king and the dominion. Amen. You have dominion in the name of Jesus this morning. And the power of the Spirit of God is here to rehearse the Word of God before your very eyes and to lead us and to guide us into all truth. So let's think about the power of what happened. Now, Moses, Exodus 31, the last verse, I believe it is. Moses, he goes up. And he meets with God in verse number 18, Exodus 31, 18. And he gave unto Moses, God gave unto Moses, what? The two tablets of testimony. He gave him the Ten Commandments, which were written by the finger of God. He gave the word out. And as he gave the word out, when the word is revealed, when the will of God is revealed, when the law is revealed, then comes what? If you look in Exodus 32, it tells us, that on this very day, verse 28, Exodus 32, 28, after Moses got the law, it says that there fell 3,000 people. They died. Because when you have knowledge of what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, when I have knowledge of what I'm supposed to do and I don't do it, that's sin. Sin is separation from God. Separation from God is death. So in the Old Testament, when the message come forth under the Old Covenant, there was judgment. But under the new covenant that you and I are sitting under right now, Jesus Christ, He took all of that. He took all of the sin, and He took all of that on His own self for you and I, and He was the sinless, the perfect Lamb of God. Amen? And so, all of a sudden then, we see that how the law, because you and I cannot live it, that's what Brother Corey was talking about in Romans chapter 7, the law brings death, but Jesus Christ brings life. Life. And so right now there's a whole group of people out in the world, in your world, in my world, in this community. All they know about God is, thou shalt not do this. They think it's all about a bunch of rules. But God wants to introduce them to grace. He wants to introduce them to Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit of God. He wants them to meet Jesus the way that you met Him. He wants you to take the reality that God is a God that's harvesting. He's a God that does not reject. He's a God that is looking to pull people into Himself and make them what they were destined to be from the foundation of the world. Amen? So let's think about that just for a minute. And let's hear this feast is. I want you to hold that in your mind and see it and understand it. And let's see what Jesus said about this promise. Go with me to John chapter 14. Because see, Jesus, when he tells us about a promise, it becomes reality to us. It becomes ours. Amen? And if we will receive and take Him at His word, God will do what He promised He would do. John 14, number 16, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, see, that's what this was all about. It was all about the Old Testament, the feast, the coming to God, giving yourself to God, and God bringing a revelation of who you were in the covenant to take us to this new dispensation, this time of grace, to see that when you give your life to God, the great high priest, Jesus, then all of a sudden He gives you His Spirit. And in that Spirit comes all truth. Because drop down to verse 26. He tells us who the Comforter is. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, this morning, you have this promise. You have the promise that when you come and you give yourself to God, that God, because you've been blood bought, blood washed in Jesus Christ, that His Holy Spirit is going to clothe you. Remember, Jesus said, but wait for the wait for that promise of the Father, because you shall be clothed, endued with power from on high. There's a Holy Spirit inside of you that when you get saved, but then there's a Holy Spirit that comes upon you for service.
Right.
That empowers you and I to be able to reach Pentecost, reach the harvest, bring it back to God. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, go over to the 16th chapter. In verse number 13, Jesus tells us a little bit more about this Holy Spirit. He says, howbeit, when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now that word show is rehearse. In other words, the Holy Spirit will give you either a spiritual vision, or He'll give you a dream, or He'll give you, He will take you in the Spirit in the place where God's will be revealed to you, and you'll see that, and you can, be a part of it. You can, for a better of a lack of a word, you can act out what you see, and it'll come to pass. How many times have you saw something in the Spirit, and you went and just walked that out, and it happened? It happened. Well, that's what all the type and the shadow is about. Remember, Hebrews 10:1 tells us that all the things in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. And so now you and I, we're not looking through a glass darkly in that sense, though in a limited way of other things we are. But in this, we're not. The veil has been rent in twain, and we can see what God wants. What does God want? God wants you to be expecting to be led by His Spirit in every situation. He wants you to expect for Him to empower you to live everyday life in victory. You are not defeated in any area of your life. The devil tries to convince us that we are. He tries to make us think that we have to always be stretching and reaching for something that's not ours. But inside of you this morning is the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit saying, yes, you are an overcomer. Yes, you can do all things. Yes, you can hear in the midst of whatever is going on, of a storm or a cloud, you can hear the truth, and you can walk that truth out, and God will confirm it. Amen? That's what He's saying to us. So I want you to see that right now that the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it brought great unity. But in the body of Christ today, we've got great division over this, where we're supposed to have great unity. Let's just go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at that. You know, they were all in one place, and in what? One accord. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit is the... Ephesians 4:3 says that you and I are to be kept in the bond, in the unity of the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit is the revelation of God's peace, Jesus Christ. And the bond that keeps us in unity is that Spirit that works in you, that works in me, that doesn't show us differences, but it shows us love. Love that covers a multitude of sins. Love that never fails. Love that causes us to love like the Father loved. Amen? And so this morning, God is wanting us to be in a place and a position where we see that God has gave us Jesus, that we in turn, we can give Him ourselves in all freedom, in all liberty. You have nothing. You have no reason to be ashamed, because the blood of Jesus washes all your shame away, washes all my shame away. And so we have authority to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, because you gave first, you sowed first into me, now I'm sowing everything in my life into you. What can I give out? Where are you empowering me to serve this morning? Where is the harvest that you're directing me to? Because you and I, you know, think about my grandparents, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, they would follow the harvest. You know, they would go out west and they would follow the harvest. So a lot of y'all, you know what I'm talking about. And that's what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to get in tune with the Spirit of God because there's a harvest out there. And He wants us to be in the place and the position where we can reach that harvest at the perfect right time, where not one bit of the fruit falls to the ground, amen, because God has got a church that's willing to say, hey, God has ordained me, He's authorized me, He's empowered me to do what needs to be done, amen. He's confirming His Word. There's great things happening in the Spirit. This is a season. There's a season right now, if we'll just listen, where there's going to be people who are going to come to the Lord that is going to amaze people. They've been wrote off. They said people have said they'll never be saved. They'll never have a life. They'll never be delivered. But you and I are going to see it, and we're going to be a part of it. Amen? Because God's going to show Himself mighty. He's going to show Himself great in the earth in this feast, this time of harvest. Now, notice here, it says in verse number 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. God wants to use everybody at all times. And see, right now, the people want to divide people, and they want to say, well, you can't do this because you're not qualified. God qualified everybody there. Everybody that obeyed God and tarried there, He qualified them. Praise God, today we don't tarry because the Holy Spirit's done here. Amen? And so He is qualifying you. He is calling you. And you can do, by the power of the Spirit, what nobody else can do. But you've got to see it. You've got to say, God, how can I give myself to You where You can give what I need? This morning, God is wanting you to trust Him in a way you've never trusted Him before. He wants you and I to come out of religion. He wants us to come out of all of these doctrines and get into the reality of love. The message of the moment is come back to the love of God. God is directing the church that we're going to talk about it tonight, maybe. Come back to the love of God. And if we'll get back to the love of God, the power of God is going to change people. It's going to bring the harvest in. Now here Peter is. Can you imagine? Can you see Peter? Peter, just a few days before, he cannot even tell a little maiden girl that he's a follower of Jesus. But all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit comes and sits on him, clothes him, he's able to stand up in front of the same group of people, along with all the pilgrims who have come in, who are honoring the feast. He's able to stand up and say, Jesus. You know what you can do? You can stand boldly in the face of the devil. And you can proclaim Jesus this morning. Amen? Because it's not you. It's the Spirit of God in you. It's the Spirit of God on you. Amen? Every bit of you, inside, outside, you're covered. You're covered. You're cloaked. And you're cloaked and you're caulked and you're ready to go. Amen? Ready to fire the Word of God. Though you have the very sword of the Spirit, just loose your tongue. Let it go. Because God said if you'll open your mouth, He will fill it with what's needed at the right time. Don't even give thought to what you're supposed to say. Trust the Lord. Now, you study to show yourself approved. You're full of the Word of God. You're full of the Spirit of God. But you trust God. Amen? So here Peter is. He stands up on this day and he preaches this message that he got fresh from heaven. Now, this is so amazing. This is so powerful when you see this. Look, drop down to verse number 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, notice what happens in verse number 6. It says, and when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because they heard every man, every man heard them speak in their own language. Now, let's see here. Let's go back. Now, when man got to wanting to play religion in Genesis chapter 11, they said, we don't want to go through what everybody went through, so we're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to build the Tower of Babel, and that way if a flood comes again, they should have listened because God said they wouldn't be. But if a flood comes again, it cannot get to us. It cannot touch us. Remember? And they were of one mind and one accord to the point where God come down and He had to confound their language because He said they were going to accomplish what they set out to accomplish. So there can be unity in the negative, or there can be unity in the positive. There can be unity in the work of the devil, but there is unity in the power of the Spirit of God, the work of the Lord. Amen? So he confounded their language. So here we are. Let's go forward all of these thousands of years, 4,000 years, whatever. We go forward, and here we are. And all of a sudden, God restores what he took away in Genesis 11. Now, all of a sudden, by the Spirit, they could speak the same thing. The Bible says when you and I can speak the same thing, miracles happen. The will of God is revealed. Things happen that otherwise would never happen. So this morning, by the Spirit of God, you and I have the ability to say what God is saying, even though our mind doesn't understand it, our mind doesn't know it, and our flesh argues against it, but our spirit is in agreement with it. Amen? There's a unity. And when we speak what God's speaking, what happened? All of a sudden, this whole crowd, they come, they're gathered in. They're gathered in because they're not hearing about a certain denomination. They're not hearing about your rules or my rules. They're hearing about the gospel, the grace of God. They're hearing about Jesus Christ. And when they hear about Jesus Christ in a way that is personal and intimate, they heard right down to whether they're from the South, it was you all. Come on, right down to that's what it says in the Greek, right down to their very dialect, their accent. It fit perfectly in their heart. That's what the harvest is about. That's what this feast day is about. It's about the power of the Spirit of God doing what man can't do. So all of a sudden, Peter stands up. This message is preached, and all of the people are pulled and gathered in. Now notice, verse number 14, Acts 2 and 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Because he had a word from heaven. He could speak with boldness. Amen? Now, all of a sudden, he's speaking to the men at Jerusalem, but he's speaking to this whole crowd, all these pilgrims who come in for the feast. What did Jesus say? He said, if you wait for the endowment from the power from on high, that you'd be witnesses from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world. That was fulfilled in a type there of Peter, but now it's being fulfilled in the church as you and I go to all of our world. Amen? And so he brings to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 21. He tells them, he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Glory. Well, now, if you'll come to my church, didn't say anything about it, did he? We're so caught up in numbers. We're so caught up in, I want to build this, and I want to build God's kingdom, don't you? God's kingdom. It's all about the Lord, or it's nothing. So he said, here, let me tell you what you got to do. You just got to call upon the name of the Lord. Come on, make Jesus your Lord. He gives them this message. Now, I don't have time this morning, but he goes through it. He tells them all about the sacrifice of Jesus, makes it real clear to them. And it's verse 38, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children." It didn't end 2,000 years ago. It just started, amen? Now, notice what it says there. He tells them in the verse 40, the last part, he said, "Save yourself from this untoward generation, this perverse generation." We are seeing a generation that Paul warned Timothy about, that Solomon wrote about in the book of Proverbs, that is coming to pass just like the Word of God says. They do not know God. The Bible says that the last verse of the book of Judges says that when there's no king, the people do what's right in their... And that's what's happening right now. And so it's up to you and I to tell people, listen, just because there's a crowd doing it, don't mean that it's okay. It doesn't mean that it's not going to bring consequence. Amen? We've got to tell them. This is what Peter did. He stood up and told them this. But I want you to see the difference between when Moses brought the law and Peter being used by the Spirit of God to birth the church. Look what it says in verse number 41. Then they that were gladly, they took his word, they were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about how many? How many died after the law come to Moses? Our God is awesome. He's a God of restoration. Peter took in faith what he was given. And God blessed it and gave him, come on, 3,000 souls. This morning, what will you give that the Lord has gave you? By faith. By faith. Just give out what God has gave to you. And it'll change somebody's life. Amen? This is the season. This is the time. Jesus said, I am the door. And when I open it for you, he said, here's the key of David. Right? He said, no man can close it. Glory. This is a season that you and I need to get involved in. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. This is the time that to tell people, yes, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit give life. Come on, we're in the moment. We're in the moment. We're in the moment of harvest. People don't want to talk about harvest. They want to talk about money. They want to talk about blessings. You know what the true blessing is? The true blessing is to know the will of God and to do it. Oh, glory, the will of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, this day, Lord, celebrating the very Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, Lord, that you would help us to be able to receive what you have gave us through your Son. You gave all that we could give back to you and receive the fullness of the gospel, to receive the fullness of a relationship. Father, you see a group of people this morning. They could be anywhere doing anything, but they're hungry. They're hungry for you. They're hungry for your will. They're in a place, in a position where they want your perfect will to be done this morning. I ask you, Father, that you would touch each one of us. Help us, Lord, to see the harvest. Help us to be hungry for your will and your plan. Help us to see that what has been seemingly lost in the past is not lost, but the dispensation of grace, the time of the harvest is now, and you want to raise up a group of people who can be used by the anointing of the Spirit of God to change the destiny of people. Lord, right now, instill into every person the reality of who they are because of their identity in Christ Jesus. Let it be real, Father. Let it be moving. Let it be motivating. And let it be permanent. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you that this is the time. This is the time for me to give everything to you. And I'm going to give you every bit of my energy where I can do all that you'd have me to do because you're going to give back to me. You're going to give back to me the strength that empowers me to do all things. I'm going to give you my heart, my mind, my hands, my feet, my voice. There's some things that the devil's tried to take away from you. Well, guess what? You give it to God, the devil can't touch it this morning. Would you come? Would you come and make yourself an altar and get in the place and the position where you see that God wants to endue you with power to be able to accomplish the task at hand. Some of us we have in our own household people who are in confusion. They're lost and undone. This is a season for God to bring them in. This is a season for you to be empowered to know what to do and how to do it. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.